From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Melissa Block. If you hear African pop music in the U.S., you can in part thank King Sunny Ade. Back in the 1980s, the Nigerian musician toured across the country, bringing his traditional vocals and percussion blended with electric guitars and keyboards, a type of music called juju. King Sunny Ade was back on U.S. stages this summer, and our music reviewer Banning Air, the editor of Afropop.org, met up with him as he recorded a new CD in a studio outside Philadelphia.
It's been nearly a decade since King Sunny Ade released new music outside Nigeria. His touring band is a little smaller and younger, but based on what I heard in the studio, the music hasn't changed. Something else that hasn't changed is Ade's playful commitment to musical ecstasy. Asked what he's up to with this new recording, he didn't miss a beat.
First of all, it's for the people to come to the dance floor. Let's do it together. Let's dance together. It is for you to draw your baby closer to you and then dance along with me, because the whole world is full of stress. Let's blow it out. Let's allow the stress to go, at least for a while.
After decades working the music scene in Lagos, one of Africa's biggest and toughest cities, Ade knows a thing or two about stress. One of his biggest headaches is Nigeria's music pirates, who've perfected the art of flooding the market with cheap, inferior CD copies within days after a big release. Ade says he's given up fighting the pirates and now seeks to woo them to his side.
Instead of fight each other, we sit down at a round table. Why do you do this? Actually, we don't call them pirates to their face. We call them special distributors.
Whether this counts as tact, diplomacy, or making the best of a hopeless situation, Ade's approach to piracy echoes his musical philosophy, which he calls his synchro system. It's all about cooperation, harmony, and working together to create something beautiful. Ade formed his first band in 1967. He's made dozens of recordings since, but the real heart of his artistry is the way he connects with a live audience. His band can electrify a festival stage with deep grooves and graceful moves. But to really understand Ade's connection with Nigerians, you've got to experience one of his African parties, like the one he hosted this summer in a fluorescent-lit basement auditorium at a Brooklyn high school.
You're going to dance and dance and dance tonight.
The audience was mostly well-heeled Nigerians who came to listen and dance, but also to spray. That's when you go on stage and make an offering to the singer, generally cold cash pressed on the forehead.
They will come close to you, shower some money on you, and if they have a gift, they will tell you there's a gift. Some people can give cars or refrigerators, whatever.
At this Brooklyn party, Ade and his band didn't take the stage until 2 a.m., and when I left almost 2 hours later, they'd been playing nonstop without so much as a pause between songs. No cars or fridges were offered that night, but loads of dollar bills and a few 20s and even 50s in the mix. Giving money to a musician is a way of showing off in a social setting, but Ade doesn't like it when things get competitive.
It can cause a row, a fight, and I don't want that. I want everybody to be my friend. That's why I don't sing political songs. I don't use my songs to abuse. I sing free songs that we're all going to be happy.
Ade knows his audience, but he doesn't pander. Other African singers have changed their styles to please foreigners and ended up losing the home crowd. Ade made his mark on juju music early on, but since then, he's resisted the fads and fashions of four tumultuous decades. That confidence and fidelity is what makes him a king, not a mere politician. For NPR News, I'm Banning Air.
You can hear a concert by King Sunny Ade from his U.S. summer tour at nprmusic.org.
Thank you.
We heard about a composer who has drawn inspiration from birds, specifically from a photograph of birds. 2 weeks ago, Brazilian musician Jarbas Anhele opened his newspaper in São Paulo and saw a photograph of birds in silhouette perched on parallel wires. Where other readers may have thought of the movie The Birds, Anhele saw the beginning of a musical score.
I have this idea that I decided to try to see what music that birds were playing, because it was made exactly with five wires, that is the numbers of lines in a score. So I decided to sit in the piano and see what sound came out of it.
Anhele saw the position of the birds as if they were notes on a musical staff. The birds' relation to each other, spread out on the five wires, suggested chords to the composer and a melody. He put the tune into 4/4 time. He sent a recording of the resulting work to that newspaper in Brazil. In turn, the photographer sent him the original uncropped photo, which revealed more birds than appeared in the paper, and thus more notes.
I decided to finish the melody with the extra notes. So the music we are hearing right now is the final version. It fit perfectly in what I was needing.
The orchestration is by Jarbas Anhele, as is the video that he posted online, and now he has been approached to write a children's book about the story, about his true example of birdsong.
And you can see the video, including the image of birds that inspired the composition, at npr.org.
The act of reinvention is one of Sandra Lerche's many talents. He's been tagged an indie rocker, a sensitive emo kind of singer-songwriter, and even a jazz musician, and all before his 25th birthday.
I had a bad dream in which the phone would ring and drown out everything that kept me on my feet.
This is a song off Sandra Lerche's new album, Heartbeat Radio. He released his first album at the age of 19 in his boyhood home of Bergen, Norway. Now he's 26 and living in New York, and his latest record seems to possess elements from his entire career. Sandra Lerche joins me from the NPR studios in New York. Welcome.
Thank you.
We're listening to the track Good Luck off the new album. I've read that you wrote the song after a complicated year, as you say, followed by a slightly more complicated year.
I was upset at how sometimes, you know, we like to think that luck is something that has a justice to it and that good things happen to good people. And of course, there's too many examples to mention of this not being the case. And so when you're having trouble, even if it's just a little thing, and you know, people try to cheer you up and they tell you that it's going to work out because you're a good guy, you know, all these things. And And it doesn't help because you know that luck doesn't really have anything to do with it.
And it's such a delicate song that if you weren't closely listening to the lyrics, things like just don't get your hopes up that you're right. You might be fooled to think that this is actually an optimistic song.
Well, that's the thing. I wanted to try to be be realistic and be sort of honest about it, but at the same time have it be sort of an anthem for people who are much less fortunate than myself.
Just don't get your hopes up. Oh, there's no reason why.
There's another song on this record that's called I Guess It's Gonna Rain Today. For those who have not been to Bergen in Norway, and I've been there, it's a town where you really don't know if it's going to rain that day because the morning might be beautiful and at night it might come pouring down.
You know, I grew up there and I'm from there and I live there, and I didn't realize how rainy Bergen was until I lived in Oslo, just on the other side of the country, and I was shocked at how dry that fall was. It was shocking to me.
Hurry back, don't take my word for it, babe. I don't. I guess it's gonna rain today. I don't know, but I guess it's gonna rain today.
You've been recording since you were a teenager. Can you talk a little bit about how you got noticed as a songwriter growing up in Bergen?
I was very lucky. When I was 12, 13, I started playing in a couple of bands. My oldest sister, she worked at all the rock clubs in town. Like, she was in that sort of community. When they had like open mic nights really, really late at night, I would be allowed up on stage, play a couple of songs, you know? And that meant a great deal to me because I loved performing, even though I was scared to death of it. That's when I met the producer, H.P. Gunderson, who brought me to the attention of a lot of people who were instrumental in getting me a deal and like and getting all this stuff happening.
There's another song on this record that I wonder if it indicates how you feel about the music industry. The title track, it's called Heartbeat Radio.
You're wearing out my favorite song and everyone else's. Oh, nothing but sad honky-tonk on my Heartbeat Radio.
Sometimes you just can't seem to find any song on the radio that you like. I was thinking about that phrase from the Steely Dan song, nothing but blues and Elvis and somebody else's favorite song, you know? And I was inspired by that song. I was also thinking about how in a romantic setting, you're, instead of being yourself and being confident in your own choices and what you like, you ask what the other person like. It's like that in certain aspects of how radio is, no? Mm. And I was thinking about that could be good for a song, you know?
Tell me why you're changing the station. What comes after heavy rotation? I wanna know, am I coming through?
Sondre Lerche, there's a track on the album which has got to be one of the most interesting songs I've heard in a long time. It's about one of the characters, one of the actors who played James Bond. His name was George Lazenby, and he only appeared in one James Bond film, on Her Majesty's Secret Service. And I want to hear the top of your song, which is about him.
It's a travesty. Where do I begin? The ways in which I have behaved, I'm glad no one was keeping track of me.
So he's the one Bond no one seems to remember because he only lasted for one film. Tell me how you saw George Lazenby in this song.
I got the idea after watching On Her Majesty's Secret Service,
which
again
is a very perfectly respectable Bond.
Absolutely.
Film.
I think it's terrific. And I guess the one thing that people say is that it's a shame about the guy playing James Bond. You know, they give him a hard time, but he was not an actor, he was a model. A lot of these actors in the film are sort of Shakespearean British actors, you know. And I saw these interviews and the bonus material that came with the DVD. And I thought it was so interesting to see interviews with both the young George Lazenby at the time of shooting the film and also the contemporary version, you know, him looking back. And there is the sense that he sort of messed up his opportunity, you know, because he got very cocky, I guess, and he admits to this himself. He got very cocky. So the song isn't directly about him, but the protagonist identifies very much with the dynamics of George Lazenby's career that didn't really happen the way he was maybe hoping or that he was looking for a while.
Like a fairy tale with blood on every page, my failures brought about some blessings. Someone must be watching over me. Even though I wonder why I did some of my doings, I'd do it all again if I had the chance, just like Lazenby.
Sondre Lerche, I know that you now live in Brooklyn. Since you've now spent so much time outside of Norway, when you return, how do people treat you differently? I mean, do younger artists sort of look to you as a mentor?
I go to Norway quite a bit, and I play shows there, and I record my records there. So it's not like I'm abandoning. But just the fact that people know you've moved to another country, there is some sort of distance, and in a way it's refreshing. People are always interested in, especially America, you know, if you have a career as an artist in America, that is always very interesting to people at home. But at the same time, it's also, there is the sense that you do sort of abandon the scene in a way. And there's a new scene that's really emerging of lots of singers and rappers who rap in their own language and their own dialect. And it's very much, I think, a reaction to the sort of scene that I came out of. And I think it's really, really great. I don't feel a part of it at all, but I think it's really cool.
Do you still see yourself as a Norwegian singer, or do you increasingly sort of consider yourself maybe an American singer?
Well, one of the practical problems that I have and had when I wrote the song Good Luck, as we talked about earlier, were related to getting a green card.
Ooh.
And that is tricky, expensive, and very processed, just full of disappointment. So part of that was that I was stuck in limbo in the United States. I couldn't go home for Christmas, which, you know, isn't, you get over that. Mm. But at least it made me think about, wow, I must really like it here, because I can't leave the country. If I leave the country, they'll throw me out forever.
Oh, you can't leave it all now?
Now I can.
Now you can. Sorry.
Now I got my green card, and it's not green at all. but it was quite a struggle to get it. So I must really like it here.
That's Norwegian singer-songwriter Sondre Lerche. His new album is called Heartbeat Radio. Sondre Lerche, thanks so much.
No problem. Thank you.
My baby's building a sandcastle, and someday we're gonna live on the shores. But nowadays we just hold our breath until the meeting next Monday. And it's going through the roof, we're blowing through the roof. If only you guys could see us, me and my baby, we pick our butt. I know the talented devil inside, and so we bond over raising toast to hearts and minds who paint the sky. Two absent minds expecting to fly.
And that's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Guy Raz. Have a great week.
We heard a lot last week about the reissue of 14 hours of Beatles music, but for every band like the Beatles, there must be a million others that make an album only to be promptly forgotten. Their music doesn't get digitally remastered. It disappears into attics and yard sale bins. But sometimes musical unknowns get lucky and cross the desk of Bob George. He's director of the Archive of Contemporary Music in New York, a collection of some 2 million records. A few weeks ago, we visited the archive, and now we've invited Bob George back on the show to share some totally great music that was totally forgotten until it crossed his desk. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Thank you very much for having me.
Now, before we start listening, this whole collection started just as a personal collection, is that right?
Yeah, I was a DJ, a very bad club DJ and a pretty good radio DJ. And by the time I'd finished writing a book on punk and new wave music, I had about 47,000 recordings. And I tried to give them away and tried to find somebody who was interested in what I had, which was mostly at the time punk, hip-hop, and reggae, and was pretty much told that this wasn't music and it was not worth saving. And so I got together with a group of people who thought that it was worth saving, a lot of very well-known musicians, and we basically put the archive together in about 1985.
Who told you it wasn't music?
I don't think it's good to say things like the Library of Congress or Lincoln Center, but perhaps those are the kinds of institutions that said such things. You have to remember that this is 85, and jazz hadn't really been thought of in the same way it is now, and people were pretty much holding on to the canon of classical recordings and saying that this was worth preserving.
Well, I know you brought a couple of records to the studio, so let's listen to them. What's your first one?
Well, the first one is going to be Did You Ever Hear the Blues by Big Miller.
Did you ever hear the blues on an old house red piano? Did you ever hear the blues like they play them in Savannah? Did you ever hear the blues in the early, early morn? Wondering, wondering, wondering why you was ever born, baby. Did you ever hear the blues?
Well, I bet you can't get that on iTunes, huh?
Actually, you can't. He has a few records he made late in life, and those are available out of Canada, and that's about it. But, you know, your introduction made me think of a paragraph Luc Sant had written in Low Life about ghosts, that there are the successful dead, and they're kind of at peace because they have monuments and tributes and statues and buildings and foundations and things to keep their memory going. But there are so many other people who are just as good, just as important, who make culture just vibrate, and they're just not remembered, and they sort of walk the earth and they tug at you all the time, tug at your memory. And that's sort of what Big Miller is for me.
Okay, I'm feeling haunted now. So tell us more about Big Miller and his significance.
Well, I bought this record because I started to put together a separate section at the archive of songs and performances by writers. So I had like Carl Sandburg and Nikki Giovanni, Paul Bowles, Maya Angelou, and Langston Hughes. And I only really bought the record because Langston Hughes had written all of the songs. And then usually these kinds of things are a springboard for doing more research. And so, you know, I had no idea that Langston Hughes had written over 800 songs and that he was from Kansas City, and Big Miller made his reputation pretty much and known as a Kansas City, you know, that sort of shouter that with a booming baritone.
On a battered old guitar, did you ever hit a blues? Over yonder, how far did you ever hit a blues? On a Saturday night, did you ever hit a blues? About the chicken, then you right. Baby, did you ever hit a blues?
All right, what else have you brought us?
The next thing I want to play is something by Anna Domino, and this is called In the Land of My Dreams. She's had this career that people have described, you know, her work between Eros and Entropy, and it has this wonderful lazy quality, and she has this wonderful feeling.
Now, when was that recorded?
This was probably 1984. People are always saying to me, well, you know, you have all these records, what's your favorite record? And, of course, that's always impossible. But there are certain records that over decades I've gone back to over and over again. And, you know, it's a guilty pleasure. You play it, you know, 30, 40 times in a row.
I have to ask you, do you listen to every single record in your collection? You have 2 million records.
I try to listen to two things I've never heard before every day. Oh. And it's really a lot of work.
Do you have an iPod?
I do, but I've never used it. And I've never downloaded music either, by the way. I've heard all about it.
So I know you have one more song, and it's from Colombia, and the genre is something called, and I don't know if I'm going to pronounce this correctly, but Terapia?
Terapia, yeah. I deduce it means therapy. It's a kind of music that develops in the dance halls in coastal Colombia. I've made 5 trips now to collect music. It's just wonderful stuff. And it's an incredible scene. It's outdoors. It's 120 degrees. It's sweating hot. They have no mid-range speakers anywhere but these giant 4x6-foot bass speakers all around. And then strung like Chinese lanterns are tweeters up above your heads going with flashing lights and everything.
Contigo te creía de maravilla, pero desperté con una horrible pesadilla. Zapa, jirafa, me tienes cansado, me tienes la costilla como pavo apaleado. Picosa, 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 picosa.
So what exactly is therapeutic about terapia?
Well, think about it. You're in a very poor country. It's the end of the day. It's aguardiente, which is fire water. You're dancing, you're dating, you're drinking, you're out for partying. If people can't find that a way of releasing tension, I don't know what they can do.
Better than Freud, huh?
I'm sure he's in some of these mixes.
Bob George is the director of the Archive of Contemporary Music in New York and an evangelist for forgotten greats. Thanks so much for joining us, Bob. It was great talking to you.
You're welcome.
This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Lynn Neary. Leanne Hansen returns next week.